everybody. This is Nisha coming to you live at Drive Through HR, the number one daily radio show for the HR professionals. Well, today again, I'm doing a solo. My partners, in time, are not available. Brian Mabon is supporting Missouri Shrimp Conference 2013. So stay tuned at 1 o'clock Central Time. We'll have a live show coming up from Missouri Shrimp Conference. So stay tuned. You'll be able to know what's going to happen and what are the updates from Missouri Shrimp Conference. And hit the hashtag MOSHRM13 to get all the updates on Twitter. So with that, let's talk to our guest, Kevin Nacko. Hey, Kevin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you today, Nisha?
I'm doing cool. Well, thank you so much for being here. I know we have been interacting through vlogs, and then I personally interacted with you a few times. So it's been great to have you here and share about your experiences.
Great.
So do me a favor, introduce yourself to our audience, and then we'll talk about, you know, what's keeping you up at night from an HR perspective.
Great. Well, my name is Kevin Nacko, and I am the co-founder and CEO of MeritShare. We provide a really easy online, simple to set up employee recognition solution. Myself, I have been working for about 25 years in a variety of different industries, from entertainment to media, and both public companies, private companies, and startups. And the reason I started MeritShare with my co-founder, Travis Pearl, is in each of these places where I've worked, I found out that giving recognition is kind of one of the most powerful things you can do as a manager, as an employee, as a leader, that most people don't do. So we started MeritShare because we wanted to make it really easy and simple for people to give recognition and help HR and companies create a culture of recognition.
Great, very interesting. So, tell us, what's keeping you up at night, or what keeps your clients up at night? You can talk anything about it.
Okay. Well, I think the biggest thing is, everybody from HR to CEOs to all the HR people I talk to are dealing with some pretty big changes going on in the workforce. The demographics are changing. You know, millennials are going to be 50% of the workforce in 10 years. We have a baby boom generation that refuses to go quietly into the night, and they are working longer than anybody had expected. We're outsourcing. People are working with people in different countries and different time zones. And I think one of the most interesting things is that companies are becoming flatter and more cross-matrix. And in a variety of different companies and in industries, we really are seeing kind of the empowerment of the individual employee to think and act like managers, to make decisions. And I think in many companies, the role and the number of senior executives and middle managers is actually declining, because as they give employees more power and the ability to make decisions, there's less need for that. So basically, you have all this change going on, but the problem is that the programs needed to deal with that change are really slow to implement. And so I think that's the thing that I see with our clients and a lot of HR people that I talk to, is that it is really difficult and slow for HR to make change. And for the last year, I really looked into this, and one of our advisors, she's the former kind of board of director at a publicly traded company. She's worked in the HR category for about 20 years, and she basically said to me, everything that you do in HR is a time bomb waiting to go off, meaning that, you know, many times you have well-intentioned programs and plans, but if anything goes wrong, it just backfires. And I've certainly have seen that happen. I've introduced programs that didn't work out as much as we expected, you know, and it's a really frustrating experience, because I know a lot of people have the best intentions in mind, trying to do the best things for employees and to engage them, and sometimes it just doesn't work. And so that's the thing that I've really been trying to put forth lately, is I really believe we need to give HR departments permission to fail. So what you see happening a lot at technology companies, from Facebook to Google, is that there's this notion or philosophy of agile development, which means you do things really quickly, you test, you learn, you're optimized, and you fail fast. So from marketing and testing new campaigns to product and introducing new things quickly, we're all kind of given permission to fail. And the one department that's not really allowed to do that is HR. Employees react, executives react to when things don't go as well as we want. And so I think everybody, not just the executives, but employees, if they want a better work environment, if they want a culture that serves both their needs and the company's needs, we need to give HR permission to fail and try new things. And I'd be curious to hear from your point of view, Nisha. Are you seeing that same type of thing too? Like, why do you think it takes so long for HR to introduce change compared to other departments?
Well, that's kind of an interesting, and as you can see, you know, this is happening in almost all organizations. That's because HR may not be the, you know, primary resources to take a decision in a particular matter. So they might have to depend on, you know, the business leaders or the leadership team, or is there something that is coming in between them in terms of taking that, as you said, taking that agile decision or not to get any delay, take the decision and then get on board. So what do you think, what have you seen when you approach the client organization or their HR department? Because I know you're a person who are directly dealing with the HR department, very particularly in terms of the recognition initiative. So what do you see from your clients? What do you hear from your clients? What is stopping them or holding them back in terms of doing an initiative in their organization?
I think the biggest thing is, it's difficult for any one person to do something alone. So, for example, I talked to a CEO who is very concerned about introducing a peer recognition program because he asked me, well, what if it fails? You know, he's not going to look great if he introduces this peer recognition program and nobody uses it. And that, you know, fortunately, he launched it, and now he's really happy. We have a 90% participation rate, but that was one of his concerns. And I think it goes for HR as well, as it is tough for any individual to single-handedly affect change at an organization. And what we see at our most successful rollouts of different companies that use our recognition product is generally what they will do is they will put a team of people together to help them test and launch MeritShare. And I've seen a number of companies do that, and it's great for us because we get really good feedback on what we can do to make the product better, how we can create the right type of awards that will encourage the right behavior. And so not only does it make the rollout and the launch of a program more interesting, but you essentially have advocates for what you do. And if you think about any kind of marketing problem, you always want to reach out to the tastemakers and influencers in a market to help evangelize your product. And I think that's the same thing that many successful HR executives do, is it's not just about them introducing something. It's not just about the CEO, but building a base of key influencers in a company. And a lot of times that key influencer may not be an executive. It could be the receptionist that everybody talks to every day. It could be somebody in another department. So I think it's really important to identify who trend makers are or an influencer is within an organization and recruit them to help you impact those changes.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And this is kind of an interesting topic for me as well. But I'd like to hear a little more about how do you decide what kind of a recognition will be suitable for a particular or XYZ organization? Because ultimately, you know what, it should match to their culture of the organization, right?
Correct. And that's the first thing we do is help determine what type of recognition should be given. And that really, in a lot of ways, is based on the values and the culture you're trying to build. So there have been a couple cases where I've worked with companies and said, this is great. We know recognition is important, but we haven't we don't know what our company values are yet. And that's actually, it sounds like a tough thing to do, but I did a whole bunch of research on this, and we posted some information on our blog. But we used what I think is called the Mission to Mars exercise, and it was actually started by the two guys that wrote Good to Great, I think Porras, and I can't remember the other author's name. And basically what you do in this exercise is if you say, hey, if we were going to launch a new business on Mars, what people from our company would we send because of the character and the values they have? So you might pick Jane because she's a great team player and does whatever she needs to help the team win, putting her needs second. You may pick Joe, who is really great at focusing on details. And you may pick Janice, who has a super positive attitude. And then at the same time, you say, okay, now you have all those people. What types of people can be successful at our current company today? And once you do that, and I've tested this exercise out with other companies and with our own company, in a two-hour session, you can actually walk out of there with some really great values of what you stand for. I think the other thing, too, and this, again, gets back to what I believe in agile development, is I don't think you need to have and lock down all five values at once. You could start with one or two, test them out, and then do that. So we have companies like that do everything from being tenacious and perseverance, and they do Honey Badger Awards, to others that are all about innovation. I think you're right. The recognition needs to tie to the culture that you want as a company or that the objectives that you have as a company. The other benefit, when we first did MeritShare, we just wanted to make it easy for people to give recognition. And we thought it would be great to do peer recognition because it's important, I think, to give everybody a voice. And I think there's a couple benefits that we've seen from that. The first is when you have recognition based on a value and you let your employees give awards based on that value, it really helps them think about what does that value mean? What does it mean to be a team player? What does it mean to innovate? What does it mean to fail fast? And in doing that and then having them write up these awards, it really kind of reinforces what you're trying to do. The second benefit we've seen in peer recognition is just that some managers are just bad at recognition. You can push them as much as you can, but they're still not going to be great at it. What a peer recognition program does is by opening it up to everybody, you're allowing other people who are great at recognition to help set the culture and the tone and the positive chatter that you want about your organization.
Well, that's really interesting. And it's really great to hear from your end that there are organizations who really reward the failures of their employees, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's amazing. And I've had talked to company leaders who said it's helped them get motivated when they learn about all this great stuff going on in their company. They hear about people that may not be very vocal in meetings but are getting a lot of praise from their peers. And it just really helps with the kind of transparency and communication that helps drive really great organizations.
Cool.
The other thing
that's
that I would Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other thing that keeps me up at night is something that we had a theory about, but we didn't know until we launched MeritShare and started companies using it, and that is the idea of really getting companies, when they think about about recognition, to take the eyes off the prize and focus more on the recognition and less on the reward. So what I mean with that is many company recognition programs are all about the prize, the gift certificate, the trip you win, and that really drives a lot of how recognition works at most companies today. And what we've tried to do is say, you know what, it's really about the act of recognition. I think most of us have probably watched the Dan Pink video Drive, where he really talks about the fact that small or big incentives actually don't help motivate people who are in highly skilled and variable jobs. It actually provides a disincentive from providing solutions. So we always have that theory, and so we tested it out. So when we first launched MeritShare, some of our implementations came with gift cards for every piece of recognition given or for the person that had the most recognition. And we had a lot of other companies that implemented just pure recognition programs, no prizes, no rewards. And the utilization has been just as good with the no prize implementation as it has with the other the prize-based ones. And eventually some of the prize-based companies migrated off of that and are just focused on pure recognition. Now, we think it's important, and you can still do it from time to time, and an annual awards program with prizes are great. But on a day-to-day basis, it really doesn't help. And the reason why this keeps me up at night is it's hard for me to show people that. I think most people think that you need prizes, and the problem with that is they're taking money out of payroll to fund those prizes, when really you don't need to spend that much about recognition. You just need to make it easy for people to use and have a recognition tool for people to easily share it.
Interesting. Well, let me do a quick reset, everybody. You are listening to Drive Through HR, and this is Nisha talking to our wonderful guest, Kevin Nacko. We are talking about employee recognition and change management in the HR industry. Well, Kevin, I totally agree with you. See, this recognition should not be done just for the sake of doing it, just by giving away some certificates or some coupons or some parking lot for those people who doesn't have a car, right?
Yeah.
So what do you see? What do you see from your client's perspective? Why are they doing this? Is this for creating engagement or for making their employees happy? What are they targeting?
So I think there's a couple things going on. One, more smart companies are beginning to realize that the solution to the recruiting problems is to focus on retention. If you don't lose your great employees, you're going to have to recruit less people. So we are seeing a shift of people doing that. Then I think there have been enough studies out there to show that highly engaged employees the companies that are really great at it are more profitable, they're more productive. So there's a lot of strong business cases for focusing on this. And the final thing, I think, to engage employees, there are a couple different factors, from having and communicating a great strategy is one, giving people career growth. And I think recognition is probably one of the most important and easiest things you can do. It's not the only thing you need to do. I think if a company implements MeritShare, it's not going to be the complete solution to everything they need to do to engage your employees, but it's the easiest step that a company can take. So, I think the companies that we're seeing do that get that. And the really interesting thing is, of course, we have to do marketing to get people to use MeritShare, and I did a test. And I took a group of companies located throughout the U.S. that have one kind of best companies to work for award from their local business publication or from some national things. And so I had this list of best companies to work for in America. And we did a marketing program out to them, and we got a great response rate. A lot of them are customers today. So these are companies that really care about their culture, and they were very open to our service. Then I went to Glassdoor and I did a ranking of the worst and the lowest rated companies by employees, and I targeted that group of people thinking they needed our help the most, and actually had the worst response rate. So it's funny, I think in some ways the companies that need recognition services the most don't realize they need it. They know they're experiencing turnover that's hurting them. They know they have to recruit people, but they're actually not looking at the easiest solution right in front of them, which is recognition. So that is definitely one of the common things that we hear around this and kind of why people do it. And I also think, too, that the enterprise itself is changing. It's getting more social. It's getting more decentralized. So we're definitely seeing a lot of interest going from kind of tenure and seniority-based years of service recognition programs to peer recognition programs based on performance, based on the input of everybody that works at a company, and being more bottom-up than top-down.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So with the emergence of social media and all the social tools and technologies, what do you foresee happening in the recognition industry, especially as social recognition?
Yeah, and I think that actually is one of the most important things. So as I said earlier, you know, let's move away from prize-based systems and focus on recognition. And then what we should do to take it to the next level is figure out how to create that link between recognition and reputation. And this is where social comes in. So what we do on MeritShare is we give employees and our companies the option to share the recognition on social networks, to share them on public web pages. And we have a lot of, not all companies do that, but we have a lot of companies do this because for them, this is the most authentic way to help get their employment brand out there. When employees are recognizing other people and sharing it on Twitter and Facebook, this helps with their reputation, it helps with the recruiting, and so I think there's a huge opportunity for companies to be transparent with their culture by allowing recognition to be public. Now, I know there are some people and some companies out there that prefer to be private. If they're publicly traded companies, they need to be mindful of Sarbanes-Oxley rules around disclosure, and so that's why we've kind of set up filters that allow companies to keep the details of the recognition private. But I think there's an enormous opportunity, and it all goes back to where recognition first started, you know, way back in early Roman times when they gave out awards and medals. It wasn't done in silence, but it was done and filled with huge people in Colosseums. So for many people, public recognition is important. And it's not just within the larger context, but one of the things I realized too, and I've tested this out, is that I think it's really important for people to be recognized in front of their support group. So when you think about it, you have a mother or a father that goes to work every day. They work really hard. Their kids and the spouses have no idea what a great job they're doing. So we've actually seen a lot of cases where people have shared, friends have shared recognition on Facebook, and the spouses have said, wow, this is amazing. They had no idea that their wife or their husband was doing such a great job at work. And it really creates, I think, a more positive environment for the support system of an employee. And when you think about like the most people in terms of whether or not somebody's going to stay at the job, first starts with the employee and then it starts with their support group. And if all the spouse hears about the company is all the bad things, well, they're not going to actually be an advocate for somebody staying in the job. But if they start to see some of the great things happening, like this recognition, then it really helps create that strong relationship in some of the key decision makers that help keep an employee engaged.
Totally, I totally agree with that. Well, let's switch the gear a little bit. You know what? I'm just consider me as a startup organization. I haven't had any recognition program at my organization, and I would like to have an employee recognition program and have a vendor to start off that program for me. So, what do you suggest? These HR folks should let you know about the organization and how would that help you in terms of initiating a recognition program to that company?
Yeah, well, one of the things that we've done at MeritShare is we wanted to remove every single obstacle and barrier to setting up a recognition program. So Travis Pearl, who runs our product and engineering, designed our site so that all you need to do to get started is sign in with your email address. The minute you sign in, you create a recognition program for your organization or your company based on the email address for your company. So that way, only people with the same email domain can access it. You can start to invite other people. So it probably takes 3 minutes to set up, and he's also designed our site to send thanks or recognition in 10 seconds. So it's super, super easy to use. So obviously, I'd like companies to use MeritShare. But I think the biggest thing, too, is just to get companies to do something. Like, don't overthink the solution. Just start recognizing people today. You can do it on Twitter. You can send an email. My motto is kind of just do it. Don't wait. And you can always optimize and make it better tomorrow, but just get started today on something you feel is important. And it just goes a long way to create goodwill, brand awareness, and recognition is one of the most effective and easy methods for engaging people and building a great relationship.
So you talked about that engagement factor, and I know these recognition programs that create the great value to that engagement factor. And other than that, we make our employees happy. So just a weird question, not a weird question there, but then still I want to hear your take. Do you think these happy employees are engaged employees?
You know, I think happy employees are great. And I think it all depends on how you define employee engagement. There are some people who still kind of associate employee engagement with job satisfaction. And in that case, I think happy employees are generally satisfied in their job. But I think many people define employee engagement is an employee's willingness to go take the extra steps to make sure that their company is successful and to give the extra effort. And in that case, that isn't really tied to happiness. It really ties to your willingness to go the extra mile for your company. So that may mean you may need to work over a weekend or stay late at night to help ship a thing. You may not necessarily be happy about it, but you're definitely motivated, energized, and ready to do anything you need to do to make sure your company and your project is successful. So I really think it depends on kind of how you define each of these things. It's really interesting. If I did this earlier, if you go to Google Trends, which allows you to look at what things our people are searching for, and you compare employee engagement to job satisfaction, searches on job satisfaction are trending down, where searches on employee engagement are trending up. So I do think we're going to an era where employees want to engage, CEOs that run companies want engaged employees, because that really is the difference between success or failure. And a lot of the studies being done have been on employee engagement.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Kevin, for giving me that particular insight. And one last question. We have about 2 minutes right now. As you said in the beginning, there are a lot of changes is going to happen in the workplace, like especially our millennial strength is going to get increased by 50% or so. So do you see any kind of a difference in terms of recognizing employees when they are diverse in terms of their generational perspective?
You know, what I think happens is that each generation brings their own unique attributes, and when they bring those in, we all benefit from it. So when baby boomers came in, and I'm a baby boomer with our kind of notions of a cultural revolution, we all kind of benefited from that and kind of expected some of those things. And I see the same thing with millennials. Some of the things that they want, like instant feedback and work-life balance, those are things that every generation wants. So I think we all influence each other in some way or shape or form. Now, there's some people that kind of won't change, but I think for the most part, I'm not a millennial, but I absolutely have expectations around instant feedback, real-time communications, my ability to balance my work and my life, to have kind of different spheres of influence. So I think we are all affected by each other when that change is positive.
Great. Well, it's been a fantastic conversation, Kevin. So where can people come and find you? Where can people connect with you? And tell us about your website also.
Sure. You can go to meritshare.com, MERITSHARE.com. You can sign up and get a recognition program going immediately. We have a free trial program. It's free for people with less than 10 employees, so you can get going today. You can also follow us on Twitter, at MeritShare. We're on LinkedIn. We're on Google+. And both myself and my co-founder are very active on Twitter and LinkedIn. I am at KNAKAO, and my co-founder is at Travis Pearl.